Track 11, and we come to this week's feature article. The advertiser usually carries a feature called Nature Notes. We dip into this from time to time, and this week I've picked out a piece written by Alice Henderson, which was spread over the last couple of editions. It's headed Shorelines and is shared between Denise and Janet.
It's popular at this time of year to make resolutions, many of which tend to involve giving up something. A few years ago, I read that it is better and easier to make a promise to do something rather than not do something. For example, spend time in nature instead of spend less time inside. Now, instead of making New Year's resolutions, I write a list of mini adventures I would like to go on in the coming year. Some past adventures I have listed include climbing a tree, snorkeling at a new beach, or having a picnic on Dartmoor. This year, however, I have set myself a challenge: to visit every beach in the South Hams. There are approximately 60 beaches that look to be accessible from the land or along the shore, so I'll start with them. I decided to start in an area that I'm familiar with, Start Bay. I've visited many different parts of Slapton Sands over the years that I've worked or volunteered at the field centre, but I have only once been right to the northern tip of the beach at Streetgate. That was back in 2006, when I was asked to complete a seagull survey whilst volunteering at the field centre in my university holidays. This involved walking the entire length of the beach, something I've not deemed necessary to repeat. However, I did think that another visit to the far north was in order, so off I set to Streetgate. On my way to kickstart this beach visiting challenge, I was thinking about what I might see and that it is the unexpected things that give us the greatest awe. Literally, the next second, whilst I was passing the duckery at Tor Cross, I saw a moorhen in a tree, something I've never seen before. Setting out along the top of Streetgate Beach, I followed the path that meanders around the back of a large area of vegetated shingle. This rare habitat of wildflowers, which will be awash with colour in the summer, stood dormant with stalks and seed heads, providing some structural beauty instead. These dead stems may seem lifeless, but they provide shelter for many creatures seeking refuge during the winter. Creatures such as ladybirds overwinter this way. I set about on a colour hunt to find as many different natural colours as I could, and despite the winter season, there were plenty to be found. It wasn't long before I ticked off pink, when I spotted some campion leaves in flower, followed by the yellows and reds of some bramble leaves. The vibrant orange of stinking iris seems almost luminous through the otherwise green and brown scene, and when I sat down for a rest, the first thing I spotted was a mussel shell, vivid in its blues and purples. The cliffs that lined the back of the beach were coated in ivy, wild clematis and brambles, all of which seemed to be dangling like curtains from the cliffs, as well as attempting to creep over the beach. The sea rarely reaches this high on the beach, so a range of plants have successfully established communities. Where I had sat down, I observed the tiniest seedling sprouting from the bare shingle. As I was not sure what this tiny plant was, I thought I would enlist my trusty plant ID app to help. I input the photo and waited for it to tell me the result. To my surprise, it informed me that it was cannabis. I don't think so. I don't need an app to know it wasn't that. Scrolling down the list, something more likely was mouse-eared chickweed. Not too far away, I spotted the hairy stems of viper's bugloss, umbelliferous seed heads of the sea carrot, and fresh bluey-green fresh leaves of the yellow-horned poppy. Where bushes and trees had made their way out onto the beach, dunnocks and robins twittered as they hopped around the undergrowth. As I made my way further along the beach, the cliffs changed from being wooded to bare slate. As the craggy cliffs opened up, there was much less vegetation and hardy gorse took over from holm oak. There were many warning signs of danger, and I could see why, as there were lots of rock falls and slabs of rock balancing precariously, so I steered myself out of range.
Somewhere along the back of Streetgate Beach used to be the lost village of Street Undercliff, a small fishing village, much like Hall Sands and Tor Cross, constructed on the shingle for its easy access to the sea. Near the end of Streetgate Beach is Pilchard Cove, which I like to think was named by someone living in the village. Maybe it was good for pilchard fishing. Anyone dedicated enough to walk right to the end of Streetgate Beach is rewarded with the discovery of a delightful waterfall and cave. Tucked away within a crack in the cliff, water tumbles down into a freshwater pool on the beach. The gently rippling water reflected light onto the surrounding walls, leading me to notice patterns, layers of material bending and curving within those rocks. There looked to be a mix of slate and schist, two types of rock formed through intense heat and pressure, which caused the twisting and buckling in front of me. Nearby, a cave caught my attention as I could see light glimmering within. I couldn't help but go and investigate. I should add that I entered at my own risk. It didn't go far, but it turned a dogleg and went out towards the sea. I imagined the sea rushing in at high tide, gushing and gurgling as it did so. I exited promptly and made my way to the end of the beach. Incidentally, there is much more shingle here than is shown on the OS maps, and scurrying around rocks that mark the end of the 5-mile-long beach at low tide was much easier than I expected. I shouldn't be surprised, as over the years I've worked at Slapton, I've seen a marked shift in shingle from south to north. Once round the end, I was into a new bay, one with no name. I wandered along the pristine beach, leaving only my footprints. I stood fascinated as two greater black-backed gulls had a mid-air disagreement, and along the shore some herring gulls looked to be having fun splashing around in the sea. My adventure came to its most northerly point when I saw a row of 8 cormorants sitting on a cliff edge between Forest Cove and the nameless beach that I was on. They looked so serene, I did not want to disturb them, so I turned around and made my way back. Once back on Streetgate Beach, it was time for a swim in the crystal clear sea. Having swum every day for 2 weeks, I had acclimatised to the cold, so with the water a balmy 11.6 degrees, I felt right at home floating around in it. A few minutes is enough at this time of year, so I was soon out of the water and back into my dry clothes. Stomping back along the water's edge in attempt to get warm, I observed the tiny pebbles under my feet as I went, glistening brightly as if varnished. As foamy wavelets swashed in and swooshed out, I dodged up and down the shore, attempting to walk as close to the edge as I could, whilst trying to keep my boots dry. Having observed several patches of gloom sweep across to the south of me on my outward journey, I was not so lucky on my return. I watched as the view in front of me was swallowed up, and into the gloom I trudged. It wasn't long, though, before rays of light started bursting through the mist and the sky became a picture, the sun beaming through the dark, menacing clouds. What a fabulous adventure I've had, I thought to myself. I hope to share more from my South Hams beach visiting challenge throughout the year.